Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing really well today. I'm so happy to be here with you, as always. This is Joanna, and we have got our business Q&A call for October today. I'm really looking forward to diving in deep with you guys on that. And then just to give you kind of a view of the rest of the month, we still have one more call this month in 2 weeks. We've got our coaching master for a coaching mastery circle. We've got our kind of special skills class. I'm really excited for that too. Anyway, before I open up the floor for any questions that you have and to hear what's going on for you, as I was kind of just like sensing in and intuiting in to our time together today and into each of you and where you're all at and just like the energy of things, what I wanted for us to take a look at together first is this. We're pretty much in the middle of October right now. And, you know, holiday time is coming up. And if you're in the U.S., it's not just the December holidays, but there's Thanksgiving as well. And so what can oftentimes happen around October is that we kind of just feel like the year is over. It's like a, you know, it's just like a rush through to the end of the year, and we feel like not much else is going to happen this year. Like, it's sealed for the year. And that's if that is, tends to be, you know, where you go inside of yourself, and so then you decide that, you know, you're not going to really do much more marketing this year, or there's no need to start anything new, or lean in, or, you know, whatever it is. If that happens for you, I just want to remind you that that's a narrative. It's not the truth. If you would like for a lot to happen over the next 10, 11 weeks before the new year, and if you have bandwidth, a lot can still happen this year. And so that being said, take a moment right now, and there's no wrong answer to the question I'm about to ask you. And what I mean by that is, for some of you, a lot is meant to happen between now and the end of the year, and for some of you, maybe not as much. Maybe you have a lot of big trips going on, or, you know, whatever it is. So you know where you're at. There's no wrong answer to this question, but it's important to be clear, to have clarity on it. Between now and the end of the year, what would you like to have happen in your business? What do you desire? What do you sense is really meant to happen over the next 10 or 11 weeks? So take a moment with that. It might be around amount of clients that come in. It might be around starting a new social media strategy. Then there may be more than one thing, right? It might be around your rates. It might be around rolling out a new program or part of your branding. For you, what do you sense is really meant to happen between now and January 1? And I'll just, you know, as you're writing down and sensing in, I'll just say this too. It is a myth that people tune out and don't invest or pay attention during the holiday season. It's a myth. Yes, people are busier. Yes, people are taking vacations. But also, the world that we live in right now is that people are always connected, for better or worse. It is how it is. You know, some of us do get to kind of disconnect for a little bit, and that's great. But you get to create your own reality. You get to create your own narrative. I have seen the most successful launches happen for some people during the time between Christmas and New Year's, for example, right? So you get to create your own narrative here too. Don't let any myths around holiday time isn't a good time to be reaching out to people, or people don't have as much money they've spent on their holiday gifts. That may be true for some people, right? But it doesn't have to be your truth in terms of what you do with your business. So what do you sense is really meant to happen between now and the end of the year? Probably not going to be a list of 10 things, right? We do want to be focused, maybe between 1 and 3, 1 and 4, things. And 1 is not better or worse than 3 or 4, right? It's just about what is right for you. Right, now that you're identifying what wants to happen between now and the end of the year, take a moment and get clear for yourself. What is the energy, the type of energy, not the amount, the type of energy that is required of you in order to reach these goals? What is the type of energy that is required from you? And then last question, if you look at those goals for between now and the end of the year, let's break it down now to the next month. So for those of you out of the U.S., you can think roughly between now and November 15th. For those of you in the U.S., if it's helpful, just because Thanksgiving comes a little bit after the middle of the month, if you're going to be off for Thanksgiving or whatever, between now and when you take your Thanksgiving break, right? So roughly the next month, what is it? What are the pieces that you're going to accomplish? What are the sub pieces that you're going to make happen between now and the middle of November, the third week of November? Give you a minute or two with that. Take another moment. Okay. So hopefully that little exercise is giving you some inspiration and motivation and focus. And also it may bring up some places where you want to ask questions today. And so with that, let's move into our Q&A for the day. So this is your opportunity to bring forward any questions or coaching that you want to take a look at. It can be on anything outer, your marketing, your offerings, your systems, your enrollment conversations, your goals, if you want, you know, to share a little bit what came up in this little exercise that we did and get more clarity. Bring forward anything on the inner level, places where you feel stuck, fear, resistance, any of that. It's star 2 to raise your hand. Anya.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. So, well, you already know about this question. I posted about it in the group. So it's about a client who we had a successful enrollment conversation, and I sent her the contract. She was like a yes to it. And then when we spoke on the phone at the end of like the second enrollment call, she said that she, like, one of her questions was like, what if the 6 month like isn't exact? Like how to deal with like the 6 month contract, like. Which, and I explained, yeah, like some clients choose to see me a little bit longer than 6 months. And so I do like a maintenance package where they might see me once a month, or, you know, it's kind of tailored to the individual. And then I also explained that if for some reason it, you know, it wasn't working out, or she felt like she was done, even though, you know, given the situation, we didn't think so, I would never make someone like stay in the relationship, but that I find that the container and like setting the appointments and having the agreement is really important mm-hmm. to like having all of herself, like bring all of herself and commit. But then when I sent over the contract, she said, and she was okay with what I said. But then when I sent the contract, she said that she was just really, she said, I have an impression that the program is fixed for the whole duration of 6 months and not really a tailor-made program. It's what I was expecting and understood from our phone conversation. But it's kind of like, I feel like an out, you know, like, yeah, I can't put in the, I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. I didn't tell her on the phone that I told her the contract is set, but it's just like, I'm flexible about it. If like, I can
she
never
says it feels it. Like it's not tailor-made. Do you know what she means?
Yeah, I mean, like, the contract doesn't explicitly say, like, if we decide, like, if, like, now that I'm saying it out loud, like, if there was a clause that said something like exactly that, like, if both parties agreed that, you know, to shorten the contract or whatever, that would be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I should know what I have in my own contract on hand, and I'm sorry that I don't have all of that information in my head, but I'm 99.9999% positive that I do have a clause like that in my one-on-one contract, and I can send that to you.
Okay.
Let me make a note of that. Hold on. I don't, if you're okay with having a clause like that, I feel like it can put some people at ease, but it still holds to the commitment, because the idea, I can't remember the exact wording right now, but the idea is very similar to what you just said. Like, should we both decide that it's inappropriate for you to continue or not in your best interest to continue, then, you know, I forget the wording, but you basically you're let out of the contract.
Yeah.
And you can choose if you also like want to add to that if there's a $100 processing fee, if that happens, or, you know, like you can also set terms around that. But I don't think it's being willy-nilly on your boundaries if you have something like that, so long as it's explicit that it's not just the client's decision.
And I mean, I guess now, I mean, just saying it all out loud, like that's basically what I did say on the phone too. Like I said that I wouldn't want it her to just walk away. Like we'd need to have a conversation and that I just wouldn't feel okay with making her do it. But yeah, so I think the clause actually kind of summarizes that perfectly. So
awesome. So yeah, so what I'd say is like, I know you have a call set up with her. I'll try to send you this today. I'm pretty packed the rest of the day, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
And then what I'd say is you could say, like, I'm looking forward to connecting. I totally hear you. Would you feel better if we put this clause in? And I would send it to her via email ahead of time so she can, like, sync in with it. So that way when you get on the call, hopefully it's quick. And you can have her sign it while you're on the call together.
That's a good idea. Because I think this isn't as complicated then as I had put in the post. Then.
Yeah. No, I'm glad. That's what I just had this feeling we needed to voice to voice on it because I'm glad that we are. So I'm glad you're seeing it simple and all of that.
Wonderful, then. Thank you, Joanna.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Adina.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I could hear you a little better, probably.
Oh. You
sound a little far away.
Just one moment. I've got I apologize. I'm sort of dead zone. Is this okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, I really appreciate your lead about the seasonality with the holidays. I actually had a call yesterday with one of my very first clients that I had just wrapped up a six sessions with, and we're talking about the potential of continuing on a new cycle, and she has a lot going on between now and the holidays and is going on a big trip over the holidays that's kind of a big transformational, spiritual voyage that she's going on, and I was pretty sure that, and actually sort of sensed that maybe it would, not make sense to continue right now before all of that, but she actually does want to continue, immediately, which is really nice. And my question is about this particular client, but also it's indicative of clients that I tend to attract who are creative professionals who have very erratic schedules. This particular client is an actress, and so she often will find out about callbacks and auditions, at the last moment within 24 hours with my, change in cancellation policy that I had set forward is 24 hours, which I feel comfortable with. But we had a really interesting conversation about, how to deal with that for her. And again, other people in similar situations. And on one hand, I want to be firm about boundaries and honoring my own time and, being honoring that policy. And on the other hand, given that I do, for whatever reason, seem to attract people with this particular, similar kinds of schedules, how do I, and that I am at the moment pretty usually able to accommodate rescheduling. My time is pretty flexible. So I just thought I would bring that forward.
Yeah, it's such a great question, and there's not one answer to it. I mean, the one answer to it is whatever feels good and doesn't have you feeling resentful.
Yeah.
So if you feel like right now is a moment where you're okay to accommodate that and there's no resentment on your part, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it, and it doesn't mean that your boundaries, you know, similar to what I was saying to Tanya, just in a different way, like it doesn't mean the boundaries are willy-nilly. As you were describing that situation, you know, what it made me think of, like in my work, is with midwives and doulas. So
yeah.
I work with midwives and doulas, and a birth is going to, so the baby's going to come when the baby's going to come. And I personally, for me, and this doesn't have to be the same answer for you, but I've never resented rescheduling if that's come up. Now, in order for me not to be resentful, I'm not going to twist myself into a pretzel and just reschedule, like, quick, and put the rescheduled session in a place that it doesn't work for me. Sometimes the client then has to wait, you know, even upwards of 4 weeks, which is, like, at first, you know, when I started doing it, it was, like, a little painful, like, oh, my God, are they going to be upset about, you know, like, whatever. But that's part of, if I'm going to allow for that, then that's part of the deal in it. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's super helpful. I do have another quick question, but I can circle back around after you fix their people.
Okay, yeah, there's a couple of other hands up, but
okay,
I'm going to take your hand down and then re-raise it, so remember, and I'll come back to you. Sound good?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, wait. How do I take your hand down? You know what? I'm not going to take it down and leave it up there. I'll come back to you. All right. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So,
email to nudge, so I'm glad that you're on the call today.
Yes,
you're on my
of course.
Email list.
I'm just, yeah, and I'm you're on my email list as well. So, you know, I'm basically, let's see. This is my second week after my retreat. So last week was just like catching up from everything from the retreat, which went great. But what I realized, yeah, and I'll update you more and I'll write it in the Facebook group, but it was really, really, really good. And one of my questions about
before
my...
you, hold on. Can we just pause on that for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yay, the retreat.
Yeah.
Not only was the retreat really, really, really good, which is not a surprise to me at all, by the way, but it's amazing, right? But not only was it really,
yeah.
really, really good, but Kelsey, you can see that and acknowledge that and own that inside of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. That is actually kind of the most amazing part, is that I didn't walk away from it nitpicking about, well, this could have gone better, or that I could have said this differently. You know, I had small moments of it, but really partially because that's a big topic that we taught on there, that I was teaching on the retreat. And, you know, the whole slow power concept is about self-love and letting, you know, I just was in that mode as I was teaching it. And I was like, okay, well, that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it went well, and I was also able to let probably small stuff go.
Yeah, I'm so happy to
yeah.
hear it. I'm so happy to
yeah,
hear it.
Yeah, thanks so much. I mean, I totally could not have done it without you and this group and everything I've – all the encouragement and, yeah,
and
my buddy work with Tara.
Yes, yeah, all yes to all of that, and also your incredible brilliance and wisdom mm-hmm. and what you bring. So, yay. Okay, you can
Thank
ask
you
your
so
question
much.
Now.
Okay, so my question has come up. My question came up, one, because of the retreat, and two, because I actually have a couple of my six-month clients rolling off. I've actually rolled off with a few, and I have a few more rolling off. I must have had a big rush about 6 months ago. And I'm realizing that that people go from my six-month program. In my six-month program, some of them were meeting three times a month or three times a month at first, and then go down to two times a month. But everybody ends with about two times a month. So I feel like what people want is to go down even more, but to have some sort of maintenance package. And I know we've talked about one time a month not being a tight enough container, and I agree at some level. And, like, you know, having a group coaching call like this in the middle would be like, you know, a step up from just going down to one time a month. And if I had a bunch of people meeting one time a month, I think I would kind of drive myself crazy too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm envisioning, or I'm trying to envision, and could use a little strategic thinking on like some sort of a group program. And what I want to do is be able to, you know, obviously start it with like hey, and I'm going to be offering this, you know, once a month group call, blah, blah, blah. Since there's only, you know, I would be offering it right now, like just to the people from the retreat and like a couple people rolling off. So it's not like a big launch or anything. So it would be a lot of individual attention. Anyway, I'm just wondering how you first started a group, meaning does it have to be this huge, big launch where I try to get 30 people in it, or can I just have a call once a month? And if so, what's your thought about that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you're asking the question. Absolutely, it doesn't have to be a big hurrah at all. There are moments for, like, the big launch, and then there are other moments where when you have a deep-rooted business, which you do, Kelsey, you have people around you, you have people that want to work with you, you know, all of that, where you can just quietly fill something behind the scenes. And it's going to be epic because it's epic, but not because of the amount of marketing or amount of people that you put into it. So I love that idea. And it, like, again, there are moments for big launches, but in terms of, like, where you are right now, and in terms of, like, if this is a big goal between now and the end of the year, and there is busyness for you, then we don't want it to be a big, you know, like, all this stuff right now.
Yeah.
So does that feel good?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to have it be a big hurrah. I sort of want it to be, like, something that, you know, either soft launches in December and January, and, you know, with a couple mm-hmm. people, and then maybe next year we bring more people into it. But it's confusing because I know with your groups, we all start together, and there's like this feeling of everybody starting together, and there's something nice about that.
Not all of my groups are like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and even in this group, we'll probably have a couple of new people that come in over the next few months. This is not a closed group, right? So,
right.
You know, it depends, but I've certainly I have groups that are, like, ongoing, and it's when you come in, you come in, and you can still create beautiful containers that way. Energy follows energy. So if you are good with it and then you just set it up, like, you let people know ahead of time, this is how it's going to work and this is what we're going to do for everybody to feel contained and this is why it's going to be awesome, then it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one piece, though, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Are you thinking that it's just going to be once a month that this group is going to come together and then that's it?
No. In fact, it's so funny. I just wrote down something like twice monthly. I was just wanting to offer people, like, if they wanted more, you know, one coaching call, and then you can hop on this call, you know, this group call, either once or twice a month. It's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm just starting to think about it.
The group, it needs to be more than once a month. I mean, I rarely ever say, like, it needs to.
Right.
But you're not going to have people engaged if they only have one connection a month, especially in a group, even more so than one-on-one.
Is two not enough either? Do you need to do three?
Nope, two is good.
Two is good.
Yeah, two is good. What's going to be the format, like how long and what's going to be the format of the calls? Do you know yet?
I don't know yet. You know, probably, you know, it's funny because I love that our calls are an hour and a half, but I also feel like with my population, an hour might be what they could actually do.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 75 minutes, maybe between an hour and 75 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably some sort of a group coaching accountability around, because it would be with people that I think it would be with people I've already coached with around this slow power, you know, continuing their slow power, the whole life leadership stuff that we've worked on. But I don't, you know, I guess I'd have to work out how much is teaching and how much is group coaching. And
we can definitely talk more on this.
Yeah.
But I think for sure, like, if you're going to do 60 to 75 minutes, you would want at least the first 20 minutes or so to be teaching or an exercise or a practice, something like that.
Yeah. that's my vision, and then obviously figuring out what that is.
Yeah, I love it. I love this idea for you. I think it makes a lot of sense for your business.
Thank you. Yeah, so I guess the main question for me was, you can just start kind of telling people about it, even though it's just forming, and saying it hasn't really started, but in January, this is what is going to start. And
I would have your details down. So what I mean by that is know when the start date is, know what the schedule is, know when the start date is, know what the numbers are, be clear on like gap vision, and bridge, why they should step in. And then, and tell people, get them enrolled now. If you're going to tell people about it now, get them enrolled now, even if it's for January. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would wait maybe another week or two if it's going to start in January, but absolutely.
And then the last question I had is, well, I guess I'm sort of thinking, I wish I had had something like this at the end of the retreat. So no, I just have to go back to the retreat people and say, hey, this is available.
Because you didn't make the call to action while they were in the room, I think you need to individually reach out to them.
Call. Yeah. Yep.
But I think it's all good, and I think you'll fill it.
Great. Oh, and how many people do you think is the right number for something like this?
You tell me. What's your intuitive sense?
I don't know.
I feel like this kind of thing, there's a range, not a specific number.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, between 8 and 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think yes to that. And I think it just serves a bunch of purposes in your business. I think it'll bring in income for people who weren't ready to commit to one-on-one coaching. I think for the people that you're working on maintenance only once a month with, it will just help them get better results and bring more value. And I think it will help just move you more into like the group, just facilitating a group, and that's going to lead to more groups. So I think it's good on a lot of levels.
All right, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Here's my question. The good news is that I had proposals at institutions that are being seriously considered. One of them, I'm going to be meeting with the provost at the end of the month. And I'm starting to make headway into a fellowship program. So what, I guess what I'm concerned about is growth in this way. I think the systems are mostly there. What I'm worried about is, how do I do this growth without wearing myself out? That's the question. I suspect there's going to be a period of time where I'm going to have to, like, there's going to be all the logistics and everything to do that might be dizzying by the end of November, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want my days to be wall-to-wall. I don't know. I don't want to be worn out. I suspect that if it grows quickly enough, I definitely won't be teaching anywhere near as much or at all, but I'm not sure I'm quite there yet.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, yay that you're having these meetings and there's interest. Yay! yay, growth. I feel like I didn't hear all the words that you said around specifically what they want you to do and what you're going to be doing. Can you just describe? I just want to make sure I'm fully in the picture.
Well, I actually didn't tell you
that. Oh, okay. Because at some point I didn't hear. So I was like, maybe she did it really quick in that 2 seconds.
No, I didn't say it. I should say that. For one of the schools, it would be running a 12-week writing program that I have, but the people who would be enrolling would be doing it on the basis of an academic year. So they'll be doing 3 rounds of the program.
Person would be doing it three times, or the school would hire you three times over?
No, the people would be doing it three times so that they have continuity over a year with their project.
I see.
Because these people are probably, they're working on books. They're taking their dissertations and turning them into books. So they need that continuity. The second big institutional lift would be building a professional development program at a school here in New York for professors. So, and of course, there's three levels of the professoriate. So there would be the tenure track, the associates, and the full. And then I would also, at the same school, I'd be also doing workshops for undergrads who are in this fellow program. But the reason why I'm doing it is that this fellowship is trying to pull people of color into the professoriate, so they start backing them to do that as undergrads. And my objective with this would be to do these, but with the hope that the person who runs the program would actually connect me with people in the fellowship program so that I could launch it with their dissertation and postdoc fellows nationwide with the fellowship program and not limited by institutions.
Yeah. And that would be your thing, not...
Right.
Okay, yeah, so that's dovetailing into some questions. I just have a couple of clarifying questions. The first is, I'm assuming that whatever you're going to be paid by the institutions are fixed. I just want to...
What do you mean by fixed?
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm thinking they'll pay me a certain amount. Like, for example, the first thing I described with one of the schools, like I put in a contract for $20,000 for an academic year.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what you mean by fixed, yes.
Yeah, that is. And is the $20,000, when you think about the amount of hours that you're putting in, is that equal to, in your own business, how much, you know, hours put in to income?
It's more, I'm charging more than I would charge if people enrolled in it if they were not backed by an institution.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's comparable.
So it's worth the time.
Yeah, yes, and it's comparable to, there's another coaching, it's not really a coaching program, but there's another program that offers postdoctoral support, and they charge $20,000 a year for their program that offers less.
Okay. That's great. That's not how I thought you were going to answer, so that's excellent. I'm so happy to hear that. Yay you. Because, you know, sometimes with academic institutions, that's not the case.
Right.
So, yay. And then that last piece that you were sharing about, like, moving it under your own umbrella, will you be able to enroll people that go through these programs with you? Is there opportunity to enroll them under your own umbrella afterwards?
I would make that a condition of what we did.
Okay, good. So please make that a condition if you can. I just want you to leverage, you know, like just leverage the experience as much as possible. So, okay, so then back to the question that you asked, and I want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. It feels like the question is, this is all good things, but there are a lot of details and logistics. How do you handle it and not get burned out? Is that the question?
Right, and how do I set it all up so that when it's actually rolling, I'm not wiped out?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, what I've already put in place is that there's half an hour between, and you know, and all of these programs have, I have to figure out what I'm doing with one of the schools, but one of the programs has, they have individual coaching calls as part of it, right? So I've set up in my schedule half an hour between calls so I can actually think about what happened, regroup, and be fresh for the next fall. So that's one thing. And then I make sure that there's 1 week a month where people can't schedule anything with me, so I have that week off.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other things I could be looking at just to make sure that I'm not burning the candle at both ends?
Yep. Are you clear on session hours, like the, between this time and this time? And when
Absolutely.
It's...
Yeah, you can't. I don't think you can book anything with me past five. Might be possible. Yeah, but there's a hard cutoff.
Are you clear on how much they can access you, if at all, in between sessions, and what the boundaries around that are?
For the writing program, I have a Slack group, and so they can contact me there. And I'm always really clear with people that I don't answer in the evenings generally, and I don't answer on the weekends. Except those are my boundaries.
Yep. Okay, good. If it feels right and you don't already have it in there, I would say also, like, it's a 48 to 72 hour turnaround time, so that you don't, if something comes up, you don't feel like you have five people that put something in Slack and you have to answer them.
Okay.
The next day.
Okay.
You could if you wanted to, but just so that you have some leeway there.
Right. That would be great. But
yeah.
Yeah. So pressed.
Yeah. So I would put that in. Are you clear on scheduling and rescheduling protocols?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because sometimes that can take up a lot of energy if there's not clarity.
I do everything through Calendly, so I don't actually, it's systematized, so I don't actually have to do it. So if you want to reschedule, go find your ones and handle it. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not in that mix.
Yep, good, good, good. I can't think of anything else outside, you know, these are like more logistical things other than your own energy and what you're doing to really take care of your, in general, you know, what
right.
you're doing to take care of yourself and your energy.
Okay. That's good to hear.
So just for, you know, another moment, like when I say that, what comes up for you? What do you see?
So because I moved from the village to Harlem, I have to shift my healthcare up here. And, I'm going to see my new doctor at the beginning of November, but what I want her to help me with is getting a sleep study. So I can make sure I'm sleeping well at night. I have, you know, I have reason to think that I might need to be treated for sleep apnea or something like that. So that's one thing that would be hugely important.
Yeah. Are you
Sorry?
Are you on that?
Not yet, no. I'm waiting for the doctor's appointment so I can get that rolling.
Okay. So but that doctor's appointment is set.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit on you on this just because sleep is, like, you know, what I have to say. Sleep is so important. So that's
yeah.
that is a priority for sure. Yeah. Good.
What else? That's the first thing I did. I'm doing more in the day, like, to like, either meditate or go outside or sing or something to, like, between appointments and things that I'm really clearing, like, you know, like a complete energy reset between things. So that's something I'm starting to incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing I could do is do more meal prep at the beginning of the week so I have food ready to go. So that when it's mealtime, I don't have to think about, oh my gosh, what am I going to cook? And like waste, burn my energy there.
Yeah, I love that. That's so important. It's like both on the what am I going to cook level and the blood sugar level, right? All of it, mm-hmm. if you would have stuff ready, which I think is just so wise because if we're going to have a little bit of a busier schedule, those pieces need to be put in place.
Right. So I can have, like, pre-made salads, and, you know, I can do that, and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Good. Can you start to put that into place sooner than later?
I could. That's actually easy to do. Yeah. And it's winter. I can do soup.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's so easy. Well, I mean, if you like to cook. I said it's easy, and I'm like, it's not easy for me. But
yeah.
All right. How does all of that feel?
That feels good. It means that I have what I need in place. And then I guess if something feels off, I can just tweak it. I can say, okay, from here on in, this is what's going to happen about whatever.
Yes, exactly. You can always tweak it. It's always a matter of, like, testing and then seeing.
Right. And I think when my teaching load goes down or disappears, that will help a lot because it'll open up more time in my schedule for my client work. And I won't be burning energy there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, like you'll have that opening. A good question when things, even with all of this in place, if things start to feel a little too chaotic, a good question to think on is, what is the next system that needs to be put in place? Could be like outer logistical or more personal system like the meals, but what's the next system that wants to be put in place? Okay, good. And yay. I love all the stuff that you're doing. Okay, good. All right. Who else? Star two, if you're on the call and you're being quiet, but you feel like you have a question, now is a great moment to raise your hand and get coaching. What is it that you need? It could be on the outer level, a logistical piece, a marketing piece, you know, whatever it is, messaging piece, or maybe you're noticing something on the inside, resistance, fear. What is it for you? Star two, and Adina, oh wait, no, sorry, I didn't see Inbal, you had your hand up. Inbal, and then Adina, I'm going to come back to you.
Hi, Joanna, can you hear me okay?
Great. I can.
So, I have a couple of questions that I think are kind of together. So, I'm realizing that, well, I mean, in addition to the procrastination, like, I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but, and just a bunch of different threads is that, you know, I've been doing a lot of work over the last 2 years and over the last 6 months and over the last 3 months. And so I feel like one of the things with outreach is that I just feel like it's really hard for me to explain that I'm coming from, like, a different or, like, a more nuanced perspective than I did before.
You mean reaching out to the same people that you have before?
Yeah, but also just in general, like, articulating kind of, like, a more refined or nuanced approach. And I think with my clients, like, right, that's not an excuse for that because they can just, you know, they, like, they have enough, like, basis.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and so I'm thinking about that in terms of the outreach, but I'm also thinking about that with this conference that I'm going to, you know, where I'll see, like, a lot of colleagues, and, yeah, just want to be able to kind of, you know, have, like, the elevator pitch and, you know, like, how's coaching going and things like that. So I'm just curious if you have, like, suggestions around how to prepare, how to, like, get started, how to get in, like, you know, I know that, like, I want to be really confident about, like, where I'm at, you know, but the fact is that I haven't marketed in 2 years because I've been doing other things. But, you know, like, my own process, but also, like, this huge project that, you know, that people will know about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I'm going is to kind of, like, show it off a little bit and talk it up.
Yeah. Can we just take a moment and celebrate that you're ready to start marketing again and that you just said you're going to this conference to show it up? Like that's a shift.
Well, I'm going to show off this amazing resource that I wrote, but,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess also in a way maybe show myself off.
Yeah. I think that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for, I want to make sure I'm answering your question, and there may be more than one question in here, but I'm going to, like, hook on for the moment to elevator pitch, since you're going to be at the conference, and you're going to, you know, quickly, like, people will be like, what are you up to, or blah, blah, and you need to kind of quickly, you know, get their attention in whatever you're saying. You don't want to go on and on forever. So is that a good place for us to kind of focus on?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, and I'll just share, like, one concern is that it's, like, I don't have that many clients. So, like, one of the things I really want to support and want to, like, emphasize is, like, you know, quality over quantity and, like, kind of how much clients are shifting and why they continue working with me. Mm-hmm. And then also, yeah, there was one more thing that I spaced on. Okay.
Okay, so this is going to be, like, overly simplistic for a moment, but I think it will be a good place for us to start. And this is great. This is for everybody listening right now, for those of you that are going to listen to the recording later on, I actually want everybody to do this exercise along with Inval. So are you somewhere – I feel like you're out and about, Inval. Are you somewhere where you can write?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you're going to have to do this in your head, or you may have to go back.
Yeah, totally, and then I'll listen to the recording.
Yeah, but I want everybody to do this. So I want you to complete the following sentence. I'm going to say the whole sentence out loud, and then Inval, because you don't have paper and pen, we can go step by step through it.
Yeah, awesome.
I help X. So X is going to be a very short 3 to 5 word description of your ideal client. I help X who are struggling with Y. Y is going to be their biggest gap piece, the umbrella one that brings them all together. Accomplish Z. Z is the ultimate vision or what it is that those people really want.
Okay, I love the formula. So my ex is that what you want me to do right now?
Yeah.
My ex is, like, you know, smart women who want to be of service in the world or who are of service in the world.
Awesome. I help smart women who want to be of service in the world that struggle with,
like, overwork, lack of boundaries, caring for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have, like, one big gap. And then the Z is, like, I mean, ultimately it's, like, you know, peace, love, care. Like, I mean, it's, you know, it's things that, you know, yeah, that I think a lot of people kind of undervalue. And I think it also undersells, like, some of the results, but it's really to create, like, intentional life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so let's get a little... So all the things that you said for the gap were all good. You can include those three things. That's all good. And then this last piece... I think is create an intentional life, which means that they are really what? What does it mean? What does that intentional life mean?
That they're making conscious choices based on what they want, not what they're... and what they want and need, rather than, like, what they should be doing.
Okay, so let's take some of the how out of it and say, like, they're creating the life that they want in a way where they are in control, not sleepwalking, and feeling fulfilled.
Yeah.
And you could even get a little more detailed in life. You could say, like, the work, that, you know, and relationships, or, you know, whatever it is there.
Right, right, totally.
So there's one more part to this. Okay, so how does that feel so far?
It feels good. I mean, I'm kind of like, I don't love fulfilled, but then I was thinking aligned, but it's like, I think fulfilled is actually like what people want, and aligned is maybe a little bit generic in this context.
Aligned is very coach speak, and you don't work with coaches, right? You want to think like what's on their mind.
Right.
So you can play with the words and post it in the Facebook group, and we can help you refine. But I think we've got the ballpark. There's one more piece to it. There's one more piece to it. And again, this is for you and Bal, but for everybody else. So then the next piece is, and the reason why my clients are so successful when they work with me is because. And the reason why my clients are so successful when they work with me is because. Finish that sentence.
Joanna, this is the hard part.
I know.
Or the harder part.
You said you were going to show yourself up. Here it is. Here it is.
Yeah, I think you're more excited about marketing than I am. Me marketing than I am. Okay, I'll just speak like, you know, I really know how to hold space for people. Like, I've been around. I don't know what to say.
You started saying you hold, what's the kind of space that you hold for people that helps them achieve their results?
Really like loving, compassionate, grounded, and practical.
Mm-hmm.
Honest. Okay, that's the space. You know, I really help, like, women discover possibilities that they didn't realize existed. And to focus on their, like, their individual, like, power and liberation in order, like, to create, like, what they want to see, like, in themselves, in their relationships, in the world. So, like, it's like a systemic kind of lens, or it's relational.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. So if I were to just quickly, and again, we can go back and refine the words, but if I were to just quickly kind of rearrange some of the things that you said, I would say, and the reason why my clients are so successful when they work with me is because at its heart of hearts, the work is about empowerment and is about liberation. Because I think those are two words that are going to resonate with your people. The work is about empowerment and true liberation. And we get there because the space that I hold is incredibly potent and honest and piercing, yet loving at the same time.
Okay, that sounds awesome. I don't like piercing, but other than that, yeah, that's right on. And what to lead with, you change the order. Or, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so do you feel like
awesome.
You've got some stuff to work with there?
Yeah, that's an awesome start. It was painful, but I'm glad we got through it.
Yeah, I'm glad you were game for it. So I'm happy to take a look if you want to post, work on this, and then post. And I'm sure you'll get.
So then, like, what's my ask? Like, so if you or anyone you know, and then like get their digits and get their email and write to them.
Well, it depends how bold you want to be. So if you are able and if the energy is right, I would say, so for example, you know, so just to like give you a better sense, for example, let me ask you this. Where in your work or life are you not liberated or empowered right now?
Oh, that's deep.
Uh-huh. And then you, if it's the right person, they're engaged and you can get into a conversation about it. And then if you're feeling a connection, you can invite them into an enrollment conversation.
Awesome. So then when I meet people, like I'm there with this feminist organization. So when I meet like new people, I can say like, you know, I'm a, you know, GBV consultant, but, or like lead that I'm like, you know, a women's personal and professional coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like lead with that and like, yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than like I'm a GBV consultant.
Yeah, I mean, the GBD is going to, I think it's going to have value to those people too. So you can say, like, I'm a GBD consultant, but the deeper work is.
Oh, cool. Okay. Okay, that's awesome.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, so awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm glad you brought it up, not just for you, but I think it's a good exercise for everyone. Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Adina.
Hi again. Feels very mundane after the last question and all that beautiful work. But I'm just wondering, and this, I feel like I may have missed this somewhere along the line because it's really basic, but just in terms of structuring payments for packages for clients who can't do an upfront payment, and so far everyone I've started working with has done that, but how do you suggest structuring, you know, other options and like incentive, you know, is that like is some percentage incentive if they do all a lump sum up front? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
that's exactly right. 10%.
Yeah.
So, there's like, you've got your rate, right, which is a pay in full. And then let's say the program is 4 months or they can pay in 4 installments. And divide the lump sum into 4, and then you can add anywhere between 5 and 12%. Pretty standard is 10.
Okay, I guess that's it. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, that was easy. Yeah, good. All right. Let's see who's next. Dana.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So yeah, this is perfect the way you started this call out, because I feel like I am in this like harvest season of the things I've been focusing on the last 3 months, and it's kind of this like little pause, and now I need to figure out what the hell is next.
Mm-hmm.
Because my goal really is, the overarching goal of the year, and I feel like energetically I'm getting closer to this, so it feels good, but I'm still like not there. Is to create the consistent, like at least 3K months so I can transition out of the day job.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that I wrote that I need, so I basically am going to just share what came up as you prompted us, because I think I need help focusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what like would I like to accomplish over the next 30 days? So I realized like next on my plate is sort of to really practice my, oh, I want to pause by like celebrating too, just, so I got, like, over the last 3 months, I hosted a challenge and grew my list to 100 people, and I've been doing some, like, vendor events, and I've been growing my list that way. And I got, yeah, and I got 3 of my beta clients, which is what I wanted to try for, like, what I created in Curriculum Lab.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working with them, and they actually wrap up right, like, the week of Thanksgiving. So that's when they wrap up. And then I just hosted an event this weekend, and it was sold out. We had room for 14 people, so I co-hosted, and it was, you know, it was a great event, and we got good feedback, and people loved it, and they're like, when's the next event? So since that all ended this weekend, I'm now like, okay, I'm in process with these three clients. I wrapped that event, and now I, you know, have new leads through this process. The thing that didn't happen is that I didn't, like, funnel or get people into enrollment conversations.
That was a question on my mind, so I'm glad you're picking that up.
Yeah, and so, like, I kind of tried, but maybe energetically I wasn't behind it, so it's, like, through the, it was an email challenge, and, you know, so there was, you know, like, throughout it, there was that option, like, you know, hop on your free call, so it just, nobody really took me up on it, and so I do that, and even following up the event, like, at the end of the event, we set it, and then in the follow-up email, we set it, and so far, I mean, that just went out this morning, the follow-up email. But no one, so it's just not, no one's really taking me up on it. But part of me is like kind of, I think energetically I'm kind of okay with that because I feel embarrassed to say this. But like my three clients a week right now, I'm like, oh, that feels like enough. Like, and so like when I think of like I'm in this weird gap between like what I can handle and like where I need to move to get the money I need. Mm-hmm. So I think part of that is raising my rates because right now with that beta pricing, so I'm realizing that over the next 30 days, like, I really need to solidify my offerings and build confidence with them because I'm still in that weird space where I'm like, okay, like, is this, am I doing a good job coaching these people? Like, what, where, you know, what's my skill set and what am I focusing on? So I feel like it's, I'm getting clarity as I'm in process with the events and the people, so that feels good. But I know that, like, in order to really raise my rates and, you know, do all that, I need to probably feel a little more confident about that. So that's kind of my focus for the next 30 days. And then really nurture the leads that I have grown because I spoke to you about this last time. I just haven't made time to, like, do my newsletter. I've been somewhat consistent on social, on Instagram, but I know that I need to tighten that up and have more of a plan for nurturing the leads I already have on my list and getting more visible. And then I think, yeah, and then I wrote practice enrollment conversations because I think there's a block there. Like, no one signed up, maybe because energetically I'm scared I don't have space in my schedule. And also I have to – I think you have maybe a training on it, but I don't really know my enrollment combo stuff, so I probably have to practice that over the next 30 days.
Okay. Okay, good. This is all really good information.
So, help.
So first, I just want to celebrate all that has happened over the last few months. Dana, like – can you see how forward, how, like, you are moving forward? You set goals, you accomplish them. Like, this is so much more. Like, let's go back to a year ago when you and I first connected. It is, you are in such a different place. Can you see that?
Totally. That's why I felt like I wanted to celebrate too now before dying.
Yeah.
Like, what's next?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. So, from there, my sense is there are a couple of places that are, you know, if we were going to name some priorities to focus on, based on everything that you shared, I feel like these are probably the priorities. Number one, I do want you to clarify your offerings and your prices, and I can help you with that. You know, post, work on them, post where you're at, what they look like, what, you know, what they include, and how much. And then I can give you feedback on that.
Okay.
And I'd like for you to do that, if possible, in the next few days.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two, yes to practicing enrollment conversations. It's really important. So have you listened to the, I know it's long, it's 5 hour.
No, I have no idea. I just keep hearing that there is one out there, but no, I have not.
Okay, if you go into the member center, there is a 5 hour, it's called Authentic Enrollment Conversation Training. I'm about to toot my own horn. I'm going to toot my own horn. Dana, it is like pure gold. It is priceless.
Okay.
You need to make the time. If you can't all in one chunk, it's fine. But I want you to put it in your blueprint over the next few weeks to work through that training. It's going
I'm
to
taking
help
a flight to Vancouver next week. And it's
great. So you can listen
can
to my
on
voice
plane.
On your flight.
I didn't even think about it. As you're saying 5 hours, I'm like, I don't know when I have time. But, yes, on the plane. Perfect.
Awesome. So I want you to do that. And then what I also want you to do is I want you to post in our Facebook group and see who has gone through the training, who would be willing to do a practice session with you. And if they want to practice, you know, they can practice and you can practice, right? But let's there will be people in the group, hopefully, a lot of people in the group. We can always use more practice, so I want to encourage anyone that's listening, do a practice session with Dana. The next priority is I feel like you are not leveraging the people that are already in front of you, like really in front of you, as well as you could. So what I mean by that is, or I want you to leverage the people in front of you. So what that means is, number one, for the people that were at the event this last weekend, did you make a call to action?
It was just to set up a discovery session.
And did you follow up on that?
With an email and then a link to request it. Not even to book it because I didn't put my calendar, but yeah, just the link to request.
Okay. Were there a couple of people in particular that were there that you're like, this person needs to work with me? Like, this would be awesome for them based on, you know, how they showed up and what they shared and all of that.
So I don't know because I'm feeling like a little bit of a disconnect between some of the different work I'm doing, like this was like more like aligning with the fall season and then versus like my meditation, like mentoring / coaching stuff. So it was hard to tell exactly.
I hear you, but I still feel like there's a relation. I don't think they're so disconnected.
Yeah.
So that's just a side issue. I want you to start seeing the connection.
Yeah.
Between all the ways that you're working, or else it's like trying to run three businesses and make three businesses work instead of one cohesive business, right? There's so much
well,
we can
I
say
agree.
On that. Not going to get too into it right now, but
no,
your ideal
you
client
offering,
should kind of be the same for all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I have to move back to. When you said clarify offerings, I'm having, because I'm doing these like in-person workshops that are like seasonal, cyclical, and then it feels like there is a disconnect between it, and I need to mesh it for myself. So when I visit my offerings, I'm going to clarify that.
Okay, great. So for the time being, I know that if you looked through the roster of people that were there, you were going to find at least three people that you're like, oh, my God, I loved this person, and, you know, she shared about X, and I know I can help her with that in the coaching.
Okay.
I want you to send out individual emails to at least three people. It might be more. Maybe it's five. I don't know, right? But I want you to send out individual emails just saying, like, I'm not sending everybody this email. I wanted to reach out to you personally because, first, I just felt such a connection between us. But number two, like, I really heard you when you shared about blah, 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 and blah, you know, whatever a struggle or gap was. And I'm not sure if you realize that this is exactly what I help my clients with. I'm wondering if it would make sense for us to hop on the phone and talk about how I might be able to help you and the possibility of working together.
Okay, yeah. And as you said it, I'm thinking of the people that came up to chat with me on breaks and stuff. And yeah, so okay.
Good. And then the other piece of this is your beta people. You're going to want to call them into continuing to work with you. So I want you to start to think about how you're going to do that. And you know, I'm happy to help, but that's another priority. So those are the top priorities. We want to pick the apples that are easiest to pick from the tree. And it's people that have already worked with you or been in circle with you or been in workshop, right? So anyone that you can think of, you know, I just gave the two examples of the beta and the people this weekend, but anyone that falls into that, we want to invite them and get them into a conversation. Anyone in the challenge that participated, you know, and like was into it and you could tell they were into it, send them an individual email similar to the one I just laid out. Let them know I'm not sending an individual email to most people, but I just, you've been so much on my mind. I loved when you shared about X, you know, and invite them into a call.
Okay. Yeah. That means I have to clarify my offerings before
That's why I said that, right?
Yeah. That's why you said that.
Those are the biggest.
Got you. Yeah.
Okay. So I would say like for the next month, those are your biggest priorities from now until our next Q&A call. That sound good?
Yes. And then I'm going to post this in the group too, because I have a membership program right now. And actually when you were sharing, I forgot which, but it came up just like right now I'm doing one live call a month through it and one video with the new moon and with the full moon. And I feel like the container's gotten really loose and I'm not having people show up as much. And there's right now like 12 people in the group. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of like what's next with that group, because I mean, it's bringing me consistent income each month. So I feel like there's growth to be had, but I need to revisit what that looks like. So I think I'll share in the group.
Think about that. Yeah. When you look at your offerings, and then I want to take a look at all of them together, because it's almost like a little bit of a puzzle.
Yes.
That they all fit together.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Cool. All right. Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work. You're doing awesome stuff.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Tanya. Are you there, Tanya? Tanya, did you raise your hand again? All right. She's not listening. Who else? Has a question. I'll come back to Tanya. Maybe she just was having an off moment there. But Star 2, we still have a little bit of time left on the call today. What do you guys need? Kendall.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
I just have a question. In listening to the call, I feel like it would be really helpful for me to also go through that enrollment conversation training. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, I mean, is that something that you, because I guess what's behind this question is I'm concerned about, you know, like spending too much time on the phone with someone who,
Isn't it,
I don't know, like, right, exactly. And I'm wondering if it makes sense to invest that time in someone who's already gone through like my intro starter program, and there's the possibility of doing more ongoing, deeper work together, or does it make sense to include that as part of the initial enrollment process, even for, you know, like the intro shorter program, if that makes sense.
So the process that I may not be answering your question, but so I'm going to talk and then you can tell me if I'm not answering. So the process that I lay out in the Authentic Enrollment Conversation Workshops is like, it's a process that the first call usually takes about 45 minutes to an hour. And then if it needs a second call, there'll be a second call as well.
Okay.
I would say that if you have, for you, this isn't for everyone, because it's going to be different for everyone, but Kendall, from what I know about your business, you know, anything that's going to be like 1,200 or 1,500 and over, maybe, or maybe you know the better number for that. I'm taking a guess from, you know, what I do know about your business. 1,200, 1,500, somewhere in there, do that full process.
Okay.
For any offering that you have that's maybe less than 1,000 or less than 700, somewhere in there, you still want to use the same formula that I lay out in the training, but you can do it in much shorter form in like a 20 or 25 minute situation.
Okay.
If you have had a lot of enrollment conversations with people that you're like, ugh, they're like from a totally different planet and so not ideal, or they're in no position to spend the amount of money that my stuff costs, then what you can do is when someone wants to schedule a call, have them schedule the call and then send them a short questionnaire where the questions will be targeted both to like activate their gap in vision a little bit, but for you to be able to pre-qualify them. And if when you read their answers, if you're like, no, this is just not, I don't think this is worth my time, you can just have a template email that says, thank you so much. Based on your answers, I don't feel like we're going to be a good fit. And you can either like refer them out to someone else or whatever it is.
Right. Okay. That's
is that
that's
all answering
awesome.
Your question?
It is. And that I think that was my that piece about the like the pre-call questionnaire. Mm-hmm. Like almost like a pre-qualification, that's really helpful. And I think that's where I've been getting kind of hung up because I don't have any clear pre-qualification right now. So it feels almost like painful to get on the phone with someone for like 45 minutes and it's
100%
not really a good fit.
If you go to my website and then we're in the middle of shifting the website, but it'll still be there. If you look through like work with Joanna or something like that, and then there's one-on-one mentorship or something like that, I think if you click there, you'll see my application questions.
Okay.
They'll be different than yours, but they'll maybe inspire you. And then put together a couple of questions. I have a lot. You definitely don't need to have as many as I have. Sometimes shorter is better. But put some together, post them in the Facebook group, and I'll give you feedback on them.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. If you haven't listened to the training, listen to the training. It will be really helpful.
Awesome. Yeah, I will do that. I'm excited. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Tanya, I'm going to go back to you. You may not have re-raised your hand. I thought you did, though. Tanya? Oh, no, she didn't. All right, anyone else before we wrap for today? Star 2. Anything else I can help you guys with? All right. Great call. I'm just so appreciative. Oh, wait, no, somebody did raise their hand. Who is this? Your name isn't coming up. From California.
Hi, Joanna. It's Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. I have lots of stuff, but I'm going to try to just, address this. So I'm kind of happy because I'm moving more into the taking action mode. And so I'm experiencing fear, but it's not like total doorful collapse like I was before.
Yay!
And
that's progress!
Feels, yeah,
that's big progress! Yay!
Oh, big time, big time. And so just from tapping into my own inner wisdom and power and things at the retreats and stuff, it really helped just kind of take me out of that dorsal, that dorsal.
I could see that happening for you, literally.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, right? Like a phoenix rising. So, but now I'm, dealing kind of with the reality of day-to-day life. And, I'm still remaining positive and stuff. And I'm actually very happy to even feel anything at all. So feeling the fear is actually, I'm receiving it and just using it as energy to take action. And it's so imperfect because the anxiety is so high, but I know that each and every day I'll see more and more progress with that. So, but, you know, I could feel myself kind of going back to that deflated place, and, you know, I'm just trying to use my tools to access my queen, you know, and stay in an empowered state and tap into my wise woman energy when I'm facing this fear. So I was going to ask some stuff about that, but instead what I'm thinking of presenting to you is that now that I'm more willing to take action and definitely in touch with the empowerment, and I really do feel the power, like I do know what I have to contribute. I do know that. And so it's just a matter of practice and staying in that state long enough to be able to live that in a more embodied way that's more extended. So anyway, that being said, I'm really willing to do outreach again and do all of the things that I have planned on before with my program guide and things. And I'm at a point right now where I'm debating on doing live events and workshops, which you've mentioned to me before. And so I'm kind of trying to see, like, what next steps are. So I will go back to outreach emails and leveraging who I have in my community already. The comments you made to Dana, you know, were helpful, and some reminders and some new things that I'll take into consideration. But the other thing I was thinking of, instead of my six-month-long package, which I actually feel even comfortable increasing the price on, and it almost feels even more comfortable to increase it, which is a strange, well, it's not too strange from an energetic perspective. But anyway, that being said, I'm also wanting to do a small package to get my confidence up and things like that. And I mentioned it last time I was on the line, but that small package I was thinking of offering online and just having it or, you know, have it a virtual package, and having that just be a collection of a few calls, and just to kind of get someone out of maybe one little funk or dealing with one fear that they have, and kind of maybe using the befriend your fear process and the overcoming negative, you know, belief, and kind of like moving them through maybe just one issue for a small rate, maybe 5 sessions or something. Now, that's not really what my work is, you know, it's not going to create a transformation per se, maybe in that one area or a small little.
They'll have a lot of breakthroughs and stuff to work with.
Right.
And possibly.
Right. And I get more practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get more practice and confidence. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that, like between those two, or can I do them? Oh,
so
not
I think
can I
wouldn't. For some reason, I feel like don't do 5. I think you should do 3 or 4 sessions in that package.
Okay.
Because or else it's going to start to feel too much like the longer package. And
The
idea with that would kind of be like you get them going, you and they feel connected with you, and but they really want more. So I would almost feel like 3 sessions is right.
Yep.
For that, make it easy breezy for people to step into investment-wise, time-wise, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so that's what
and
I would
say. And how do you leverage the pricing on that versus the pricing on my six-month package, which I know has value, and I'm sinking into that more and more each day and even feeling comfortable raising it a bit?
How many sessions are in
your natural, like, movement, huh?
How many sessions are in your 6 months?
18. Uh-huh. Well, depending on the set, it's 10 to 18, because one of the packages are 90-minute sessions and one are hour-long sessions. So it's either 18 or 10, and it's a lot of access to me. So, like, email, Voxer, and stuff like that. So,
Can you, Victoria, post in the Facebook group just all of the details of the 2 different packages as well as what you're thinking of charging for the 3 session? I feel like I need to just see everything and the numbers in front of me in order to tell you where to price.
And is it in program guide format, or should I just give the
do it? No, no, no. Just be like, you know, program A, this long, this many sessions that are this long, whatever it includes, and then how much. Program B.
Yeah. Sounds good. And then you can assist with, like, the pricing for the three sessions.
Yeah, I
don't want to underprice it too much, but yet I still – but I don't really care about the – honestly, it's really about generating – interest,
yes,
but I don't
want to, 100%.
You know.
No, 100%. So we'll look at those numbers.
And maybe a pre-qualifying, too. A pre-qualifier, even for those three sessions, may assist in that, and, you know.
Maybe. I'm going to say for you, I don't think, I think you just need practice doing the enrollment.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I'm not feeling a pre-qualifier, right now, I'm not feeling a pre-qualifier.
I mean, I'm almost to the point, Joanna, where it's like, okay, free sessions for one-off, you know, 1 hour
right.
free
sessions.
Well, that's why
I'm saying make it a smaller package.
Yeah.
And, of course, your work is so valuable, but for this starter thing, again, like, I just want to make it easy access. So we'll look at all those numbers. I need to look at them all together because, like I was saying to someone earlier, it's kind of like a puzzle. You need to kind of look at all of them, how they fit together, and we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'm here if you need anything. Let me know. Post in the Facebook group. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.